Okay, goalie news. April 19th, Coach Mike here with Coach Cody again. Third week in a row, I think we're making it work. Yep. Definitely unconventional in our sense, but we're doing it. A couple headlines. Craig Anderson retires with Buffalo Sabres. Career stats for Craig Anderson. He's played 709 games. He has 319 wins. Goals against average of 2.86, save percentage of 91.2. Craig started his NHL career in 2002 with the Chicago Blackhawks, played for Florida, then Colorado, then Ottawa, then Washington, and ended up with Buffalo. Why do you think he's lasted so long in the NHL, Cody?
Well, I think he... Damn, put me on the spot. Then I gotta do some editing for this.
I can jump in here.
Jump in and give this answer for me.
So Craig Anderson, I think you stumbled on it just because Craig Anderson was never really in the highlights as much as the newer, younger, quicker goalies.
No.
He was never really a flashy goalie.
Well, he's never been on a team that's been flashy too. Like he's never put on a team that's ran with it, I don't think.
Well, yes, no. When he played for Colorado, that's where he really made his name, I want to say. I didn't know he existed until he got to maybe Florida, probably Colorado. But he was always kind of a unique goalie in the sense he didn't look very athletic. But I think what set him above the rest was how cognitive his game was. Right, he was able to anticipate and read a lot, and he played very smart hockey. And I think when he went to Washington, it was kind of in relief of Henrik Lundqvist retiring out of nowhere. So I think originally he retired from Ottawa with Ottawa, then came back with Washington, then retired again and or got traded to Buffalo. And I think this is finally the last time, being an older guy and everything. But he was still pretty dominant in the last season. Like he held his own, he did his job, and he was a good person from what everybody says in the dressing room, right? I think he's probably top five goalies for me currently, just because of one, he thinks the game differently, and he's a smart, smart hockey player.
That's a good judgment on him.
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile watching some of his video for the younger guys, just because it's somewhat different. He's not down low. He's not doing the splits. He's making controlled saves. He's doing the little things to make the saves easier on him so he doesn't have to be crazy athletic.
Yeah. Do you know anything about his height or anything? Is he a bigger guy or is he your average guy in the league? Because what I remember, I don't think he's a very big guy, probably 6'1".
Craig Anderson is 41 years old.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, pretty old. He's 6'2", 185 pounds, or 187.
So he's like an average guy in the NHL.
He's an average height, average build. Right, nothing crazy explosive. This year, he had a 3.06 goals against average and a 90.8 save percentage with one shutout.
That's a good record with playing for Buffalo.
It's a great record playing for Buffalo.
To end his career on that, that's something for itself.
Here's another little thing that I didn't add. He was drafted in 2001, so there was only one season that he didn't play in the NHL that he was eligible for. Third round, 10th pick for 73rd overall. That's pretty high.
Yeah, that is pretty high.
Anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Congratulations, Craig Anderson. Amazing career.
And next up, Boston Bruins goalies, Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman win the Jennings Trophy for a combined lowest goals against average with a minimum of 25 games played with that team. They combined to have 177 goals, including shootout deciding goals. The next up was the Carolina Hurricanes that allowed 213 goals. That's a 36 goal difference, which is pretty significant in the league that we're playing in right now. That's the largest difference since 1990, the Chicago Blackhawks winning and the Montreal Canadiens were running up. That's a pretty significant and impressive season for those two.
Yeah, I think that's devastating to look at, that 36 goal difference. That's pretty devastating to look at when we're going into the playoffs and having two goalies that have a combined total of the lowest goals against average. I think it's scary in the sense of it doesn't matter who they play.
No.
Right? Like, Swayman's pretty new to the league. He might have playoff experience. I can't remember. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Allmark has some playoff experience, and it's not great. I remember typing in the numbers, and it's really not great.
But right? He was playing, like, Allmark has not played on the strongest teams. He's playing for Buffalo, and he's playing for Boston now. Played for Buffalo before, who did not do any good for him. So he's really proven himself in the last year and last 2 years. But Swayman, wasn't he the starter last year? Like, he had significant stats even last season to prove that he was a starter. And Allmark took that net from him this year. Like, it's a good goalie battle that they're in right now.
I'm just looking up something here. Swayman. Was it Swayman and someone else that had that big goalie hug before Allmark? Or was it Or was it Allmark and the other goalie? Last year, Swayman played 10 games. No, 2 years ago, Swayman played 10 games. Then 41 games. Last year, Swayman
played 41.
Yeah. Now, do you think they're excelling because of the relationship? Like, it seems like a very positive atmosphere instead of the common goalie tandem where you both want the net and you almost want the other person to not succeed as much as you are. So you have the net more.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure at pro hockey and junior hockey, they're never going to wish that on the other person, at least publicly. But with these two, you see a difference in the relationship. And everybody's kind of like gravitated towards it because it just looks fun.
Yeah.
Right. It looks like, hey, we know we're the only two goalies on the team. So, like, we're going to support each other through thick and thin.
Yeah. And I feel like money might play a part of that factor in higher level hockey. Like, if you're not playing, you're not getting paid. So, there's a little bit of that factor. If you're not starting that game, you think that you should be. And they're probably taking that out of the picture and just looking at it at a standpoint of going to the Stanley Cup, winning the Stanley Cup, getting your bonuses in the playoffs. And maybe that doesn't have any case into it. Maybe they're just that close with each other and knows that if they have a friendship like that, that's more important than whatever else in hockey.
I think the money thing is kind of a subside because even if you're backing up, you do still get played or paid. But what it could be along the same lines is, hey, if you play well and the team wins, that looks good for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? If you win, we win. If I win, we win. Right? It doesn't matter about me and you. It's the we.
Yeah.
Right? I think Boston is kind of the favorites going in, not just because of their record, but because it seems like they're the team that's embodied the we are a team mentality, even though that kind of sounds dumb to say. It doesn't seem like there's any individuals on that roster.
No.
Right? They rise and fall together.
Yeah. And they have a really deep roster as well.
Oh, yeah. Like that I saw a Marchand thing quote on the two trades that they made, one for Bertuzzi, one for some other guy. And he says, the two guys I hated the most in the league are now on my team.
When a guy like Marchand's getting into that, you know that they're tight in that locker room.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into playoffs itself.
Okay.
Starting with the Eastern Conference. We have Carolina Hurricanes first, the New York Islanders. The goals per game average for the Hurricanes is 3.2 goals against, or goals for, and New York Islanders is a 2.95. So favorites kind of go to the Hurricanes. Goals against average for the Hurricanes, 2.56. For the Islanders, 2.65. Not that big of a difference, but when you take in goals for, there's a lot more wiggle room for the Canes to make a mistake than the Islanders.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's been the Islanders' case for the last 5 years.
Yeah. I find that the one thing that the Islanders do have is a solid goalie in net that's able to steal games for them. Having Sorokin in net, he's had a remarkable season this year. Maybe a little bit of the underdog in what it looks like in stats. But
yeah,
I think he can steal the show this playoffs. I think same thing what Shesterkin did last playoffs. I think that's what Sorokin can do this year.
That's an interesting take, thinking that Sorokin can steal a game, even though Frederik Andersen and Antti Rantanen have pretty solid numbers themselves.
Yeah.
Sorokin has goals against average of 2.34. Andersen has 2.48 and Antti Rantanen has 2.23. So Rantanen is actually kind of leading for the goals against.
Yeah. But the save percentage wise, Sorokin is leading save percentage.
Yeah.
At a 92.4, where Anderson's at a 90.3. I don't know if Rantanen's going to get into a game. He might. I assume that they're starting Andersen for playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. Even their playoff record. So Andersen's playoff record, he has 27 wins, 23 losses. Rantanen's 6 wins, 6 losses. But the goals against, Andersen has a slight higher goals against average, but a slightly better save percentage. And we're talking about 0.1 goals against average and a 91.6 compared to 91.2 save percentage.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost, I think Andersen gets the start,
yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who gets who finishes the series. Right. Yeah. They're both solid. And then on the flip side, New York Islanders, they have Sorokin, obviously, who had a phenomenal season. And then Varlamov, as their backup goalie, who's had a solid season. He had a 2.7 goals against average and a 91.3 save percentage. In the playoffs, Varlamov has the most experience out of all four goalies with 31 wins and 27 losses. He has a 2.42 goals against average and a 91.9 save percentage. So he has the best goals against average and he has the second best save percentage, only behind Sorokin, who's only had 5 games in playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think I'm with you with Sorokin can be a difference maker, but it's only going to be if the Islanders can score on Andersen or Rantanen, right? It's going to be a race to 3 goals. Usually the team that scores the third goal first wins the hockey game. And that kind of goes across all teams.
Yep.
All right. You want to guess how many games?
How many games?
Who wins, who loses, how many games?
Even though I'm thinking Sorokin can grab a few wins, I'm going the Hurricanes, and I'm thinking 6 games.
I'm going Islanders, and I'm going 6 games. So I'm going to write that down.
The one thing that I was thinking about, kind of weird topic, but Andersen with Toronto, it's not been the greatest first round for him. What's that mindset going into a series, knowing that you are the favorited team? Is he going in thinking that he has to steal this series? Does he go in thinking that he's like thinking calmly, that he has confidence? What's the mindset of a guy who's been eliminated and been in hard circumstances for the last few seasons? Does that play a factor in how he performs in the playoffs?
I think the media is going to say yes, but I think you and I both know last year doesn't matter. Regular season doesn't matter by the time we get into the playoffs. So
yeah, there's a big build up, especially 82 games when he's like, what has he played this year? He's played quite a bit this year.
I think he's just going to go about his business as normal. And I think if the Canes do well, his name's going to be brought up quite a bit because he used to be a very talked about goalie. And ever since he left Toronto, he hasn't been in the headlines as much, which might be beneficial for him.
I feel right? like when you're in Toronto, you're automatically going to get the headlines. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, it's a huge market.
It's a huge market out there.
Yeah. And the Canes have turned into a huge market.
Yeah.
Or a bigger market, right? Bigger, they're talked sure. about. The hype behind their after game celebration has died off. So, like, it's still there, I think.
Yeah, it's still there.
But I think people will say he's going to be a game changer, but I think he's just going to be steady Eddie.
Yeah. But they had they won top of the Metropolitan this year. Like, that's,
yeah.
Like, they can do it.
They can do it.
I'm not that shocked if they make it to the finals.
I think it's a lot more even matchup than people think, though. Even though they were top of the Metropolitan. Yeah.
I think goaltending's going to play a huge part in that series, depending on mainly Sorokin, I'm going to say, if he steals it or if he just plays average, like if he's going to be able to take a few games from the Hurricanes, because the Hurricanes have been dominant this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to the goalie battle, who can score more goals or who can make that extra save. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to Boston. Boston Bruins versus Florida Panthers. Boston's goals per game average is 3.67, and their goals against average is 2.12, which is the lowest. Goals per game for Florida, 3.51. And goals against average is 3.32. I think it's going to be a higher scoring series compared to the Hurricanes and Islanders.
Yep.
I think Boston's going to have, I think it's going to be Boston in five, to be honest with you. I think Lyon's going to start because he's kind of the one who's got him there. No playoff record. He's kind of hot, but his goals against average is a 2.89 and a 91.4 save percentage. So, like, not stellar, but
he's gotten the job done. He's gotten the job done for them.
Exactly. Is he going to be able to get a job done against Allmark and Swayman? Right. Allmark has a 1.89 goals against average. Like, you're lucky to get two.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think Boston has it in the bag. There is a bit of an update. Spencer Knight, Florida Panthers goalie, has entered the player assistance program and will be away from the team indefinitely. The NHL and NHL Players Association announced Friday.
The last Friday?
No, I think it was March 20th.
Wow.
Spencer Knight injury.
Did he get injured? And then turned
March 20th. Off. This came out. I have no idea. Right. It was announced March 20th. So I don't know exactly what happened. I hope all the best for Spencer Knight as he's a young upcoming superstar.
Yeah.
Bob Roski. This season had a 3.07 goals against average, a 90.1 goals against or save percentage. His playoff record is 17-29, 3.13 goals against average, and a 90.1 save percentage. Nothing really to write home about, right? Not necessarily what you'd expect out of a guy that carries around that title and that much money, but it is what it is. Could he turn it on for the playoffs? Potentially, right? He's a question mark.
I'm going to make a small prediction, just because they're playing Boston, they're going to play Leon or Lion for the first couple games. And I feel like that's not going to go their way, no matter who's in net. I don't think it's going to go their way. And then Bobrovsky's going to go in net. And I think it's just going to run out for them, and they're going to end up losing that series.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say Lion has at least the first start. If it's a close game, he gets the second. If it's a close game, he gets the third. If they lost all three, Bobrovsky gets the fourth.
Yeah.
Right. Allmark, just to go over the season record. Linus Allmark goes against average 1.89, save percentage 93.8. Playoff record is 0 wins, 2 losses. Not great. 4.16 goals against average and an 86 save percentage. Again, that's when he was playing on Buffalo. Jeremy Swayman, goals against average this season was 2.27. Save percentage was 92 flat. Playoff record is 3 wins, 3 losses, right? Dead even. Goals against average in the playoffs is 2.67, and save percentage is 90.6. Nothing really to write home about in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see kind of who Boston goes with. Probably Allmark, but maybe they still do the tandem thing, maybe 2 games to 1 for someone, right? Just to keep them fresh longer. Mm-hmm. Clearly the tandem works. Do you have anything else to add?
Oh, I think Boston's winning that series.
How many games do you think? A clean sweep?
I'm going to go, I think that Florida's going to at least get one game on them.
So I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go clean sweep. I'm going to go Boston 4. I think the biggest thing is the goal differential.
Yeah.
I think Boston has more guys that can put the puck in the net, kind of in a grittier situation.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. New Jersey Devils versus New York Rangers. Goals 4 per game average. The Devils have a 3.52, and the Rangers have a 3.33. Goals against, the Devils have a 2.71, and the Rangers have a 2.63. I would say that's pretty even. Yep. All around. The Devils kind of had 3 or 4 goalies listed, but I went with the 2 favorites that I think will probably get the starts. But I'm going to start with the Rangers, and you can take care of the Devils there. The Rangers, Igor Shesterkin, obviously the favorite to play. This season, he had a 2.48 goals against average. I would say that's pretty solid. And a 91.6 save percentage. Playoff record, 10 wins, 10 losses. Goals against average in the playoffs is a 2.61 and a 92.8. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. Their backup goalie is Halak. And his goals against average this season, 2.72. Save percentage, 90.3. Nothing too special. Doing his job, though, as a backup goalie. Playoff record is 17 wins, 20 losses. Goals against in the playoffs is 2.48 and a 91.9. So he could kind of be a ringer in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, what do the Devils have?
All right, so the Devils' starting goalie is Vitek Vanacek. His season record against the Rangers is 3-0-1, so he hasn't lost in regulation this year against them. His goals against average is 2.45, save percentage of 91.1. He has a 1-1 playoff record, so hasn't played many games, with a goals against average of 4.25 and a save percentage of 85.5. Not the greatest playoff stats, but he's only played 2 games.
I believe that was with Washington.
Yes, I believe so too. And their assumption backup, Mackenzie Blackwood, he has a goals against average of 3.2, a save percentage of 89.3, and he is not yet to play a playoff game.
I think he's really come out of the woodworks over the last couple of seasons.
Yes, I've seen his name pop up quite a bit. I think he has something to prove. Vanecek, on the other hand, he's really proven himself in the last couple seasons.
Vanecek was just looking for the opportunity that the Devils presented him, right? Yeah. He got moved around a couple times, and he was stuck behind pretty good goaltenders. So,
yeah.
All right.
Predictions for that series.
Oh, yeah. Predictions for that series.
The Devils have the upper hand on them with home ice advantage. But I feel like Shesterkin's a playoff goalie, so I'm going to go Rangers in that series, and I'm going to go 7 games.
I'm going to go Rangers in 6 games. On to the one that everybody's going to be looking at the most, I think. Toronto Maple Leafs versus Tampa Bay Lightning.
It's a huge series.
Huge series. Toronto actually now is tied with Boston, I think. No, someone. Toronto has is sharing the longest playoff streak currently, which is dumbfounded.
It is.
The worst part of that is the fact that they haven't made it out of the first round in 7 years. They've made it to the playoffs all 7 years, and they've lost in the first round. And they have the highest playoff record right now, or streak. Sheesh. I can't remember who they're partnered with, but
I think it's Boston. I think it's Boston. Think. Pittsburgh lost and they lost out the spot in the playoffs. And who was, I think it was
Washington. Yeah, it is Boston.
Boston, and then Washington and Pittsburgh both eliminated.
Yeah.
In the same season.
Yeah. So top three right now for longest streaks, Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay Lightning. So anyways, goals per game average, the Leafs have a 3.39 and Tampa Bay has a 3.41. That is very close. Goals against average, Leafs have a 2.68 and Tampa has a 3.07. So technically, I would say Toronto has them in the stats. Right? Goals for and against average.
Yeah.
Toronto. Now, unsure whether Matt Murray's going to be back or not. If he is, that starts a whole nother debate. Do you start Matt Murray or do you play Matt Murray with 2 Stanley Cup rings? Or do you play Samsonov, who has been a stellar goalie all season, right? Samsonov has a 2.33 goals against average and a 91.9 save percentage. His playoff stats is 1 win, 6 losses, but he was on the Islanders, I want to say. So they're always kind of riddled with scoring difficulties. His playoff goals against average is a 2.98 and a 90.7.
That's nothing. Actually pretty good for that record, though, to be above 900 with only 1 win and 6 losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to write home about, though.
Nope.
Matt Murray's stats. This season, he had a 3.01 goals against average, save percentage of a 90.3. So Samsonov has definitely a lot better stats in the regular season this season. Playoff record, Murray has 29 wins, 21 losses, 2.18 goals against average, and a 92.1 save percentage. So Matt Murray has a lot better playoff stats than Samsonov, but a lot more experience, obviously.
Yeah, well, with 2 cups, you assume that you'd have a lot of experience.
Yeah. If Matt Murray can't play or can't dress, Joseph Woll will be backing up come start of playoffs.
What's your thoughts on Matt Murray going to the Leafs? Do you think that a part of their decision making of getting Matt Murray was because he has 2 playoff rings and they were trying to find a way past that first round? Or do you think that's looking too much into it?
I think it's hard not to look into it. Like, Matt Murray shined for the first 2 playoffs he was in.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, he was very average in those playoffs. He rarely stole games.
Yeah.
Right? They were just outscoring. I think Toronto might have made a smart move with getting Matt Murray, in the sense there is no other goalie probably his price range with two Stanley Cup rings.
No, for sure.
Right? So his experience could come in key, but since he's left Pittsburgh, and even when he was with Pittsburgh, he's been riddled with injuries.
Yeah.
So does that come into play? Yes, 100%, because he hasn't been able to finish a full season for quite some time, right? He hasn't been able to be a difference maker in the regular season in a very long time, if ever, right? So I personally think they're going to ride Samsonov.
Yeah.
And hope Murray can be there in the long run to give Samsonov breaks. And because Murray's been there, he'll be comfortable coming in to play big minutes or big games if needed.
Yep.
Right? Because that's what he did with Fleury. Right? Now, in turn, people have been saying Tampa Bay has not had, or this is the worst Tampa Bay team since they've won the Cup. Even though it's almost identical, right? Guys are getting older. The stats aren't as great as they used to be.
Well, haven't they not had Stamkos in the lineup?
Couldn't tell you.
I think Stamkos might have been out for a little bit too, which, again, wasn't he out last year?
Yeah, like I don't think they need Stamkos in the lineup to win.
No, they don't, but he sure helps when he's in those playoff games.
Absolutely.
He's a big factor in those games.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a different level, but it's like taking Ovechkin out of that one-timer spot. When you look at Washington, you look at that power play with Ovechkin standing there. When you see Lightning, a little bit less, but you still see Stamkos standing there in that one-time spot.
He definitely brings a presence that the other team needs to be aware of.
Yeah.
Right? But with Tampa, do they need to score 3 goals every game?
No, when you have Vasilevsky in net.
He is the only goalie in the NHL that I think can steal a series. Yes. Flat out steal a series.
Yep. I'm just looking, and Stamkos did play 81 games this year, so he was not hurt. But it might be Kucherov was the other one who...
Back on the long-term injured list. Eh?
He's played 82 games too, so it looks like they're having a healthy roster this season.
I think... Like, it's the same thing as last year. Like, I think Tampa came in pretty low last year into the playoffs. Or maybe the year before, I can't remember. But they, since they've done it twice and they still have the core group, I don't think they're worried about where they end up in the regular season as long as they make it into the playoffs. Right? As long as they're not facing Columbus in the first round, I don't think anybody's sweating. Right? It's going to go to 7 games, or maybe 6. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. Or Tampa Bay is just going to turn it up and be like, kids, watch how it's done.
Yeah.
They are the ideal
playoff team.
And Vasilevsky is going to get 2 shutouts. Like,
yeah.
They're always going to be the threat, even if it's Boston, Tampa Bay in the Eastern Conference Finals. It really could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Vasilevsky, you could argue that he underperformed this regular season with a 2.65 goals against average and only 4 shutouts. Right? You could argue that. Or is he just not pushing as hard because he doesn't need to because the team's still winning? Who knows? Right? Who knows? Anyways, I don't think we should spend too much time on them. Who do you have winning Tampa and Toronto?
As much as I want Maple Leafs to get past the first round being Canadian, I'm going Lightning in 7.
And me being a Toronto fan, my heart's telling me Toronto, but my brain's telling me Tampa. I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go with the Leafs. If it goes to game seven, they're losing. So I'm going to go in six games.
Games.
If it goes to seven games, they're losing, though.
Such an interesting series. You have a really good goalie for the Lightning, who's like
arguably the best in the world currently.
Yeah. And then you have Samsonov, who's, yeah, he's proven himself this year. He has better stats than Vasilevskiy, but like playoffs are such a different game. Like, it's such a different game playing in the playoffs versus the regular season. Like, it's not even the same caliber. Guys are trying harder. Guys are actually like hitting more. It's
who can make the one save they're not supposed to.
And that's what Vasilevskiy does.
Yeah. Hands down. He's the best in the world about it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So just as a recap here, Toronto versus Lightning, we're split. You're saying Lightning in seven. I'm saying Leafs in six. New Jersey Devils versus New York Rangers. You're saying Rangers in seven. I'm saying Rangers in six. Boston versus Florida. I'm saying Boston in four. You're saying Boston in five. Carolina Hurricanes versus the New York Islanders. You're going Canes in six. I'm going Islanders in six. Is there a dark horse team that you think maybe if they get out of the first round, they can go far?
I'm just saying Toronto.
Toronto? I would say Toronto is the dark horse.
I think if they make it past the first round, they get it off their shoulder, off their back, and
their next series would be against Boston, right?
Yeah, that's an even harder series.
Yeah, but after that, rather easy, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, Western Conference, Colorado Avalanche versus Seattle Kraken. Goals for per game average. Colorado has 3.34. Seattle have 3.52. So Seattle has a little bit more goals for per game. Goals against average per game. Colorado has 2.72 and Seattle has 3.07. So Avalanche have a better goals against average, right? Colorado goalies, you got Alexander Georgiev and Pavel Francouz, the French goalie, I believe. Georgiev had a phenomenal season this year. He had a 2.53 goals against average, 91.9 save percentage. In the playoffs, he has one loss. That's the only game he's played. 2.04 goals against average and a 93.5 save percentage. So he clearly did his job in that game. Pavel, how do you say his last name again?
Francouz.
Had a good season. He had a 2.61 goals against average and a 91.5 goals against or save percentage. That'd be a ridiculous goals against average. Playoff record, which would have been just last year, right? Yeah. 8 wins, 4 losses. Goals against average 3.01 and an 89.9 save percentage. Also a Stanley Cup ring. Right? I think you can look at his playoff stats and say not great. Right, under 90 save percentage and a 3.01 goals against average, but their team was so good that they just outscored.
Yep.
Don't know if he's
again.
Say that again.
Which could be the case again. They have a starting goalie that's played really well.
Yep.
But when you put both of those together, that makes you
like they. I could see Colorado blowing teams out. It's hard to picture them squeaking by.
Yeah.
Right. But with Georgiev, he had such a good season. He could be the goalie to steal games. Last year when they won the cup, I think it was last year, right? Feels like forever ago. But they didn't have a goalie that could steal games. Kemper played as good as he needed to be, right? He was the Chris Osgood of last year, right? Play as good as you need to play to win the game. That's it. You're not stealing anything. Now, underlying kind of headline. Philip Grubauer with Seattle Kraken departed from Colorado kind of abruptly and surprisingly when Seattle got after the Seattle draft, right? Entry draft. He had a pretty not great season, or at least up to his standard, I'd say, with a 2.85 goals against average and an 89.5 save percentage. In the playoffs, he has 19 wins, 10 losses, which is pretty good. Goals against average in the playoffs, 2.5, save percentage, 91.3. All right. Martin Jones is the other goalie for Seattle. I really don't know who they have as an actual starter compared to a backup. I think Jones is probably the backup, but I think this is the most equal tandem, at least on record, right? Jones has this season a 2.99 goals against average, which I think isn't great in NHL standards, and 88.7 save percentage. Again, not good in NHL standards. In the playoffs, he has 32 wins, 27 losses. In the playoffs, he has a 2.37 goals against average and a 91.7 save percentage. So he's pretty good in the playoffs. Any comments?
Well, he was a who was he with? He was with
St. Louis, not St. Louis, San Jose for a long time.
He was with San Jose, and I remember watching him play in the playoffs, and he stood out to me.
I want to. He was a game changer.
He was, like, 2 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah,
he stood out to me in the playoffs. That he played very well for San Jose, in one of the years.
Yeah, I think ever since he was with LA, he stood out, and he was in the league 1 year as a backup to Quick. Quick went down with an injury. He stood on his head, and then they traded him to the Sharks, and he was a starter ever since he got sent to Seattle, right? Yep. So he's a very good goalie, and I think he can turn it on for the playoffs. But same with Grubauer. Very good goalie, and he's done very well for Colorado in the playoffs, right? Based on Colorado not really having a defensive core when Grubauer was there, though, right? So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
right. I think Colorado's still going to come out of this series. I'm going to say six games. I'll give Seattle two games.
I'm thinking sweep on this series. I'm saying Avalanche sweep. So I think Avalanche is too strong coming off a playoff, like a championship, and playing a team who's not played in the playoffs before.
Yeah. There.
Yep.
Right. They have something to prove. They want to win again. Okay. Second matchup, we got Dallas Stars versus Minnesota Wild. To be honest with you, not a very interesting headline. Goals for average, Dallas 3.43, Minnesota 2.91. Goals against average, Dallas 2.62, Minnesota 2.63. So clearly Dallas is the favorite with the numbers. Dallas Stars goalies, Jake Oettinger, this season had a 2.37 goals against average and save percentage 91.9. Playoff record is 3 wins, 4 losses, and that was against pretty much just against Calgary, right? That's where he really made his mark.
Yep.
Goals against average 1.67, phenomenal, and a 95.6 save percentage, phenomenal. Obviously, going to go with him to start the playoffs. Scott Wedgwood is the backup. This season, he had a 2.72 goals against average and a 91.5 save percentage. Pretty solid, but he has no playoff experience. Now, Minnesota Wild have a decision to make, right? Do they go with Marc-Andre Fleury, who is entering his 17th straight season in the playoffs, which is the longest out of any professional hockey, any professional player, doesn't matter what sport. His playoff record is 92 wins and 73 losses. I think it's kind of rare to have that many more wins in the playoffs than losses.
Yeah.
Goals against average, 2.54, but over almost 200 games, that's pretty solid. Considering their first round matchups against Philadelphia Flyers back in the early 2010s, crazy high scoring. And he has a 91.2 save percentage. This season, he has a he has a 90.8 save percentage and a 2.85 goals against average. Not stellar, but got the job done, right? You can never count Fleury out because clearly he steps up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, their backup, Filip Gustavsson, had a great season, 2.1 goals against average, and a 93.1 save percentage, but no playoff experience. I feel pretty confident that it honestly doesn't matter who the Wild play. It's going to be a very even series between the Wild and the Stars. I think where the Wild are going to get caught up is scoring goals, right? It will be tight series. I think it's going to be like 3-2, 2-1, 1-0 maybe, right? Ottinger's going to win games, and Flower and Gustavsson are going to have to steal games.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's where the difference is going to be, is who can score. Well, duh, who can score more goals is going to win the game. Duh. But Minnesota coming in with less than three goals for average per game, I don't think they're going to have any help with Ottinger playing. Right.
Yeah.
Who would you start between Fleury and Gustavsson?
Fleury's played more games this season. He's played, I think he's played 46 games versus Gustavsson's 39. I would start Fleury because of the experience. But again, kind of the thing with Fleury is that he's always been on a short string, it seems, other than when he was with Vegas, but when he was with Pittsburgh, he was on a short string with Murray trailing him, and you saw it get at him that Murray took his spot. I feel like that could be what this series is and this playoffs is for Fleury, is that he's on a short string. He can get the job done, and he does get the job done, but if something goes wrong, Gustavsson's going to go in net.
Now, do you mean go wrong, like you pass the puck to the other team and they score?
I think go wrong as in like games getting out of hand. Because yeah, he's a guy who can control a series, keep goals against low. He's proven that he can do that within 17 seasons. You know that you can rely on him. But with a guy like Gustavsson trailing, being the number two goalie in the league for goals against average, and was he being number two in the league for save percentage, erase Allmark, you have Gustavsson, who's probably arguably winning Vezina. Like
Without Allmark,
Gustavsson has a chance of winning Vezina. Do you put a Vezina goalie up behind?
Vegas did.
Yep.
Right? With Fleury. They put him up behind Leonard and lost. I think Fleury, now I know I said earlier that Vasilevskiy was the only one that could steal a series. I think Fleury has the ability to steal a series.
Yeah, I think he has the ability to maintain a series, if that makes it a little bit different.
Yeah.
He can keep it. He can keep the average regular for the Wild for the series.
The Wild just need to find ways to score.
They do.
Right.
And Krill was injured and he's back now. So I think that's a big That's a huge helper for them, having your top goal scorer back for playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that could be some of the game changer. You're putting Kirill Kaprizov up in front, who is able to put pucks in net, and then you have Fleury, who's able to like maintain the goal for a full series. I think that's going to be the decider.
I like that you said maintain the series. I think Fleury has the ability to steal game saving or game winning shots.
Yeah.
Right. Which can change the outcome of the game. I think he has the ability to do that more than most goalies. Now, Filip Gustavsson, I don't think there's a bad choice. You either go with experience or you go with the new guy who's hot.
Yeah.
Right. Who do you have coming out of the series?
I do have Dallas coming out of the series, but I think it's going to be a long one and it's going to seven.
I'm going to go Dallas in six.
I guess the other thing you have to think too is Ottinger can steal games as well.
Ottinger will steal games. Well, I don't think he'll have to steal games.
Well, but if it comes to that, if you're putting Ottinger versus Fleury or Ottinger versus Gustavsson,
I'll take Ottinger.
You'd pick Ottinger.
Yeah, I'll take Ottinger. In an overtime game, I'll pick Ottinger.
Yeah. What I was going to lead that up to is put them up against each other and then put goals for on there. Put goals for from the other team on there. So like Fleury versus Ottinger. Ottinger only has to make 20 saves. Fleury has to make 30 saves. Who are you saying in that game? Like Ottinger is going to make 19 out of 20 saves. Is Fleury going to be able to make 29 out of 30 saves?
Yeah.
That's going to be the type of series I feel it's going to be.
Yeah, I think so too. I think maybe Dallas comes out flat one game and Ottinger steals it, but
yeah,
I think it's going to be Dallas all day.
Yeah.
Vegas Golden Knights versus Winnipeg Jets. Vegas has a 3.26 goals per game average, and the Jets have three goals per game even. Goals against average, Vegas has a 2.74 and the Jets have a 2.73. Very close. Very, very close. Now, Las Vegas has four goalies listed, so we don't really know who the heck they're going to go with. I did see something, though.
I'm thinking Bersois might be their guy.
I know, but I didn't do anything with him because he's fucking...
That's a...
Here we go. Catch.
For them, too.
Yeah, I have a thing here. Okay. All right. So Vegas has four goalies listed, and there was an article by Sportsnet. Vegas goalies before March 3rd, Logan Thompson and Andon Hill. Thompson had 20 wins, 13 losses. Hill had 16 wins, 6 losses. Both had a 94 or 91.4 save percentage. Thompson had a 2.66 goals against average, and Hill had a 2.51 goals against average. After March 3rd, Laurent Brossois, 5-0-1 win record, 91.5 save percentage, 2.33 goals against average. Jonathan Quick, 5 wins, 2 losses, 2 overtime losses, 90.1 save percentage, which is a lot better than what he was with than when he was with LA this season, and a 3.13 goals against average. Now, that's the worst goals against average on the list of four goalies. But he's winning. Well, they're all winning, right? So if I had to pick the top two goalies out of the four, it would be Brossois and Thompson. Actually, it'd be Hill. Hill has been sent to the minors. Hill has
been sent to the minors. So we got Quick, Thompson, and Brossois.
Right. So now we didn't fill out the stats for all of them. But I'm going to go on a limb and say Jonathan Quick and Thompson are the two goalies dressing. Brisbois, I think, has a short leash.
You said Brisbois and Thompson?
I said Quick and Thompson.
Quick and Thompson. Just for that, Thompson hasn't played a game for about a month. He's been hurt, and he's just coming back from injury. Do you dress him, or do you dress Quick, who's been playing? He's been playing okay.
I'm dressing Quick either way. I think it comes down to Brisbois or
Thompson.
Thompson. I think Thompson is the guy with 20 wins.
All-star goalie.
All-star goalie.
Yep.
Earned it. I think Brisbois is close, but older. I don't know. I think Quick is there no matter what.
Yeah.
There's no way you're sending him to the minors, especially with the experience he brings.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be Thompson. Like, I just think it's going to be Thompson.
Brisbois has not lost a game yet in regular time this season. He's played.
That's 11. True. He's only played 6 games, though.
He's played 10 games. It says 11 on NHL website. He has 7 wins, 0 losses, and 3 overtime losses. He is a 2.17 and a 927 save percentage.
Interesting.
Which I'm just going to check. I don't think he's ever played a playoff.
He might have with the Jets.
He played one game with the Edmonton Oilers in 2016. He allowed 2 goals on 8 shots.
But that team was garbage.
And he also played only 27 minutes that game. That was
understandable.
Yeah, so that doesn't really count.
So anyways, Jonathan Quick this season had a 3.41 goals against average and an 88.2 save percentage. Playoff record, 49 wins, 43 losses. Goals against in the playoffs, 2.31 and a 92.1. Like, that's why I'm putting him in.
Yeah.
Like, I want that vintage Quick.
Yeah.
Right. And I think he still has the fire to do that.
Yeah.
He's
getting to the end of it.
Pardon me?
I feel like he's getting to the end of that. He's 37 now.
Yeah, for sure. Right. His body's breaking down. So he's either going to turn into a Ryan Miller backup, right? A very experienced backup.
Yeah.
Or he's just gonna give it one last hoorah and be done with it.
Yeah.
Right. Logan Thompson this season has a 2.65 goals against average and a 91.5 save percentage. No playoff experience. On the flip side, I think he's gonna be another Vezina finalist, Connor Hellebuck. Goals against average 2.49. Save percentage, 92. Playoff record, 16 wins, 19 losses. Goals against average in the playoffs, 2.49 and a 92.1. Almost identical to the season he had.
Yeah.
Their backup, David Riddick. Riddick. So off. That's bad because I met him in person too. This season, 2.67 goals against average and 90.1 save percentage. Playoff record, 2 losses. Goals against average. Oh, yeah. Okay. This was crazy. And it's just based on the 2 games, but goals against average, 15.17. So obviously it wasn't a good game or games. And save percentage was a 63.6. So irrelevant stats.
When was that? It's irrelevant. When were those games? Was that when Markstrom was in net?
I honestly think that's when he was with Nashville.
Nashville?
And he got blown out of the water and Connor Ingram came in.
That one was with Calgary in 1920. He allowed
in 1920. Oh, okay. Yeah.
With Calgary, he allowed 3 goals on 9 shots, goals against average at 10.85. And then in 2021-22 with Nashville, he allowed 5 goals on 13 shots, but both of the games he's only played 15 and 16 minutes. So he's allowed 14 goals in 31 minutes.
So he's not getting the start.
Oh, sorry, no, 8 goals on 31 minutes.
So he's not getting the start.
No. Nah. You are not taking Hellebuck out of the net, one of the most consistent goalies in the NHL.
No, but can Winnipeg get past the Knights?
I can't see it. The Jets don't have, other than Hellebuck, Kyle Connor, and a good defense, I think Morrissey's defenseman.
I think their chance to win the cup would have been the COVID season when it was Canada teams versus US teams.
Yes.
Right? But they got beat out by Montreal.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, I think, was their year, and they've been an old team ever since. Mm-hmm. So I got Vegas coming out. I'm going to say 6 games. I'm kind of a 6-game guy.
Yeah.
It just seems safe. Who do you got coming?
I'm going to say Vegas in 5. I hope it's 6, because if it's 6, I'm going to that game because I am available, but I'm going 5, but I'm hoping 6.
Okay. Last matchup. If you're still listening, thank you. We got Edmonton Oilers versus LA Kings. The Oilers had the highest goals for average this season at 3.96, and the Kings had a 3.34. Goals against average, Oilers 3.12, and the Kings 3.10. So I think this is going to be a rather high, mid to high scoring matchup. I think it's going to be like 5-4, 5-3, 6, whatever. I don't think they're going over 6. Yep. But Edmonton Oilers, Stuart Skinner. No. Yeah. Stuart Skinner, right?
Yep. Stuart Skinner.
He had a 2.75 goals against average and a 91.4 save percentage. No playoff experience. Backup Jack Campbell had a 3.41 goals against average and 88.8 save percentage. Playoff record, 6 wins, 8 losses. 2.45 goals against average and a 91.5 save percentage. Not bad. LA, their kind of top guy is Felix Copley. This season, he had a 2.61 goals against average and 90.3 save percentage. No playoff experience. Jonas Corposalo is their backup, and it's all air quotes backup. It's the guy who's just second on the list. For all we know, it's a 1A, 1B.
Yeah, but Corposalo has 39 games, and Copley has 37 games. So
right, but Corposalo also got traded halfway through the season,
I guess.
Right. So goals against average this season, 2.87 and 91.5 save percentage. Playoff record, 3 wins, 5 losses, goals against of 1.9 and a save percentage of 94.1. So he could be a difference maker in the playoffs, actually.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's going to be, I think Oilers come out just because they have so much firepower, and LA doesn't have, unless Corposalo steals it, which maybe could be like a Jonathan Bennington or a Cam Ward situation, right? Kind of an underdog story. I don't think LA has the firepower to fight back against Edmonton's goal scoring ability.
Edmonton's going to score goals, and that's what's going to lead to them getting past them.
Yeah. Who do you have coming out?
I have Edmonton coming out in, you know, I'm going to go sweep. I'm going to go Edmonton sweeping.
I'm going to go Edmonton in 5. All right, moving on. That's the playoff talk. That was long. We are going to get into, real quick, top NHL goalies. So, goalie with the most wins, Linus Ullmark and Alexander Georgiev are tied with 40 wins apiece. Connor Hellebuck has 37 wins. goals against average. Linus Allmark has 1.89 goals against average. Philip Gustafson of Minnesota has a 2.1 goals against average. And Antti Raanta of the Hurricanes has a 2.23. Allmark, not surprising about. The other two, a little bit surprising. But they're there. Save percentage. Allmark has a 93.8. Gustafson has a 93.1. And Sorokin has a 92.4. Shutouts. Ilya Sorokin has 6. Alexander Georgiev, Jake Ottinger, and Darcy Kemper are all tied with 5. I think Kemper was a surprise for me when I typed that out. And then there are quite a bit of goalies at 4 shutouts, one being Vasilevskiy, one being Hellebuyck, so on and so forth. Goalie with the most saves this season. We have Nashville Predator, UC Soros, has 1,928 saves on the season. Connor Hellebuyck has 1,807 saves. John Gibson has 1,783 saves.
You ought to feel bad for Gibson this year. He's really been thrown under the bus, but he's done what he needs to do.
I feel bad for Gibson for life. Yeah. Like if he was on any other team 3-4 years ago, dynamite. Like he still is a dynamite goalie. He just doesn't have any support.
Yeah.
Last stats for top goalies. Most minutes played. UC Saros with 3,810 minutes. Connor Hellebuyck with 3,778 minutes. And Alexander Georgiev with 3,700 minutes. That's kind of crazy when you think about going into the playoffs. Two of those guys have played a lot more minutes. And Connor Hellebuyck has played over a whole more game than Georgiev, right?
Yep.
Shoutouts from last week. Jake Ottinger, 5th of the season. And Jonas Korpisalo, 1st of the season. Cody, you have anything else to add today?
No, that was a really long talk, but that seemed very, very thoughtful talking about playoffs. I'm interested to see how things end up. It seems like it's a very lopsided playoffs this year, but it's
on the East Coast side.
Yes. I feel like it's a little bit of a lopsided playoffs, but I feel like once you get into that third round, or I know that once you get into that third round, it's going to be a bloodbath, basically. I feel that's going to be your Stanley Cup finals is going to be your third round in that Eastern Conference. I feel like
yeah. whoever makes it to the third round on both sides, it can go either way.
Yeah, it can.
Right? Like I think it's going to be Edmonton, Colorado again in the Western Finals. It can go either way, right? Edmonton scoring more goals than they did last season, but Colorado has a better goalie than they did last season.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be probably Tampa and Boston. Experience versus experience, right? Boston has a few guys on there from their Stanley Cup wins, and Tampa has their main core still with three absolutely exceptional goalies. Right, 2 on Boston, 1 on Tampa. Now, Brian Elliott's still amazing, but he's not to the caliber of the other three. So I think it's going to be a good Stanley Cup playoff run.
Yep.
Stay tuned. Stay up to date by listening to the Goalie News. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.